Okay, so I'm gonna try doing a cold reading of the Google Doc you sent me, Gala, and we'll see how this goes. This is in no way anywhere close to what the actual reading will sound like, because like I'm in my room recording on my iPod instead of on my actual mic with a fan running and the air conditioning and my laptop on, so sorry if there's a ton of background noise. And like I said, this is cold. I haven't read anything yet, so you can get my reactions as I go. Occasionally, Mikey wonders what he did in a past life to be surrounded by overly dramatic gay men. They came at him on all sides. His brother is, which means Mikey gets it at home. He's a bartender at a queer nightclub, which means he gets it at work. And his friends are, which means Mikey gets it wherever else he goes. His life is a regular broken hearts club. He's got nothing against the gay part. That would be hypocritical considering he likes dick. And even if he didn't, Mikey'd like to believe he wouldn't be a bigot. It's the overdramatic part. It's the overdramatic part. There's always something catastrophic with someone. If you buy into all of it can get really exhausting. Sometimes the drama. I'm also not planning on editing this, so ha, sorry. Sometimes the drama is Gabe being sick of all of Patrick's shit. Sometimes the drama is Gabe being sick of all of Patrick's shit, or Gerard suffering from emotional exhaustion after trying to wade through Frank's family drama. Luckily, with so much exposure, Mikey's developed a mental bubble that helps him float above it all, observe, but not get submerged. It's going to be the worst day of my life. Really? Yes, Ray moans. I'd be happy if you. I'd be happy. I'd be happy if G was getting married. That's because your brother wouldn't impose on his guests. My brother is trying to force everyone to be in love. Judging by appearance alone, no one could ever guess Ray Toro is a drama queen. He's not a chattering twink, and he's not a gossipy bear. But Mikey was there in high school when Ray moved out for 2 weeks to give his parents a chance to decide if they'd rather have a gay youngest son or an eldest son who used. Let me start that again. But Mikey was there in high school when Ray moved out for 2 weeks to give his parents a chance to decide if they'd rather have a gay youngest son or an eldest son who used "that's gay" as an insult. Mikey was there in college when Ray started to protest. Mikey was there in college when Ray started a protest movement about not having the school radio available to download as a podcast. Mikey's here now, while Ray's making his brother's wedding all about himself. Mikey knows better than to think Ray is calm and collected. "Take Krista," he suggests. In Mikey's mind, Ray's plus one is obvious. My brother gave her own invitation. Alicia, then, she'd go. Might cost you $20 for a bribe, unless there's an open bar. Then she'll be thrilled. Ah, stupid scrolling. Where am I? Oh, there we go. Mikey, I can't take any girl. You know how to put up or shut up. You know how put up or shut up my family are. So what that I came out? They haven't seen a boyfriend. If I take a girl, they'll assume I was just bi curious, got some third base, and called it a night. Finally, I can see my little scrolly thing. This is making things easier. Realistically, Mikey's pretty sure Ray's immediate family get that he's really and truly gay, considering he's identified as gay since he was 15. Unfortunately, facts have nothing to do with anyone when... someone around him is throwing a fit. And there's maybe the remote possibility that Ray's aunts and second cousins would react like that. Maybe Ray is right to worry. He chooses to bypass the whining and head for the solution. So you want me to set you up? Or come with me? It is open bar, you're right. It's a weak offer, and Ray knows it. Mikey's sampled everything his shelves contain. He knows how to describe vodka so he can upsell the premium brands. Knows the difference between Phillips and Smirnoff and Sky and Grey Goose. I hope that's actually how you pronounce Sky. The SKYY. I apparently don't know my vodka brands. Alcohol isn't as tempting as it used to be. Gerard won't lie. Gabe and Pete are dating now. Ryan will agree and then show up 4 days late and wonder where everyone is. Come on, Mikey. Don't make me ask Frank. Mikey wouldn't want to ask Frank to a wedding either. I'll go. You're the designated. You know how with kids' books... Oh, this is a note. To make some kind of noise. Or 2 second snippet of music. I don't know if the... Gala, if these are your notes or if they were Andy's. I'm okay with putting sound effects in. Normally at scene breaks, I just leave an extra long pause, but music is totally okay too. One thing I will mention though is I suck at choosing music for my podfic. So if you have music in mind, I am more than open to listening to it. But if I have to come up with it on my own, this might be painful. There's also a bunch of sound effects websites that I know of that we could go and see if there's any sound effects that we could use as like a something to indicate a scene change. I lean towards something a little less obvious than the children's kind of page turner sounds that they have, just because I think as someone who listens to a lot of podfic, that would probably throw me out of the podfic. But I don't know, I'd have to listen. I can poke around if that's what you're interested in. Anyways, back to my cold reading. Mikey's not sure exactly where they're going. Ray never bothered to give him an invitation. He agrees it would have been a waste of calligraphy pen on white and cream. But it does leave him ignorant. When Ray pulls into a hotel parking lot, Mikey's confused as to if they're actually staying here or stopping for Google Maps directions. Ray's bad at multitasking in the car. Mikey hears the click of the door opening. Okay. I'm getting distracted by the red notes. And then Ray turns to him, already half out of the car. Ready? Here? Who has a wedding at a hotel? The few Mikey has been to for relatives have involved his ass going numb and a puke. The few Mikey has been to for relatives have involved his ass going numb in a pew while an agonized Jesus looked down on the audience. Ray pulls his leg back in and closes the door. He turns the key in the ignition so that he can start the air conditioning again. Mikey is silently grateful. He's a sweater. I'm gonna have to work on that so it doesn't sound like he's a piece of clothing. He's a sweater, and he's in multiple layers. Dark circles around his armpits make a bad impression. Actually, full stop, we might want to consider revising this word, where it says sweater, because it, I don't know if I can make it not sound like he's a piece of clothing. I'm just gonna, like, highlight this in a different color. I think that's, yeah, this is what I want. Let's go with, I like purple. Ooh, no. Let's change the font to purple. That's better. Lou does. A brother that wouldn't get married in a church until I could does. Lou does. A brother that wouldn't get married in a church until I could does. Full on Debbie Novotny style. Wow. I told you he's all about forcing love on other people. I thought my mom was going to strangle him. Mikey makes a non-committal noise. Mrs. Toro doesn't so much have traditional beliefs as she just loves traditions. He's sure she cares because every Toro ever has probably gotten married in the same church, not because that's what proper Catholics do. Thanks for coming with me. I could totally see Lou telling me to get out if I didn't have a plus one. I could totally see Lou telling me to get out if I didn't have a plus one. It was you or an escort. I'm glad it was you. Thanks. You should tell me how you meant, what kind of emotion you meant for this. Thanks. I'm gonna change the font again. Like, if it's a sarcastic thanks, because he's just compared to saying he's better than an escort, or if it's, like, an actual thank you. Okay, no, I'm reading further, and it looks like it's a sarcastic one. Sorry. Isn't this gonna be fun to listen to? Thanks. Ray shakes his head. A strand of his long hair pops out of his respectful ponytail. No, I mean, I'm glad it's you. I think I really like you, man. Yeah? Yeah. Cool. I like you is just about the weakest declaration Mikey's ever heard. On the other hand, he's pretty desensitized to statements of affection. A skinny man in mesh with five crantinis in his system will say "I love you" when you just give him a sixth. Ray looks at him. He's flushed, even though the air conditioning is on full blast. Just cool? Mikey sighs. I have crushes on all my friends. Doesn't mean I should do anything about them. He doesn't cite Pete, though that man is enough proof for a lifetime. Okay then. Let's go watch this and get smashed to relieve the pain. He holds back as Ray locks the car door. It'll sell it more if they walk in side by side. He'd hold Ray's hand, but that probably wouldn't be good for either of them right now. Mikey'd been to a few hotel conventions in his life. Just because he's not really an active fanboy anymore doesn't mean he doesn't have a navy and copper scarf for winter wear. He's seen the extent that a grand room can be decorated. This is about a billion times better. If he had to describe the room in one word, it would probably be beautiful. What's better is there's already a few people clustered around the manned bar. Mikey considers waiting, but when Ray heads directly for the corner, he follows. If the groom's brother can get drunk before the vows, so can he. Mikey wakes up in a bed that isn't his. It's not much of a logical leap to figure he's in a hotel room. His bed is much harder, and his blankets are a pile of old Afghans. Not to mention the sound of air conditioning rattling in the corner. He sits up and opens his eyes in panic as he tunes into the undercurrent of sound. Beyond the obnoxiously noisy air conditioner is running water. Someone is in the bathroom, showering. Fuck. What the fuck does he do now? One option is to flee, right now, before anything confrontational happens. It's a strong option, the one that makes the most sense to his panicked senses. The facts are, though, that the other guy stayed when he could have sneaked out. Mikey's not generally one for upmanship. Mikey's not generally one for upmanship, but this is different. Besides, he should probably chip in for the cost of the room. Since there's nothing else to do, he grabs the remote control from the nightstand. He flips past all the different news channels and leaves it at toddler cartoons. While Mikey doesn't recognize this one, he firmly believes in the power of watching happy things in the morning. Doodle bops do much more for your soul than 30 new people being blown up in a city he can't pronounce. The pipes screech as the person turns the shower off, and Mikey tenses in anticipation. Considering he has no memory at all of last night, that he'll need to scan Lou's Facebook page to even know who showed up, it's entirely possible that beer goggles played a part in his hookup. He just hopes the man that walks out doesn't have a neckbeard. After that one drunk D&D session, Mikey vowed to never make out with another man with a neckbeard again. The door opens with a cloud of steam, and Mikey drags the blankets tighter around him. Seeing the same person naked takes on a different meaning the morning after. And this time, Mikey doesn't even have the benefit of remembering a night before. He'd rather be wearing clothes for this. He'd rather be wearing clothes for this, but he's got no idea where his suit is. The person that steps out in the wake of humidity doesn't have a neck beard. There's no facial hair at all, because as far as Mikey knows, Frank's never had a beard. The fact that it's Frank puts a twist on the events Mikey can't remember. Frank is very much the kind of person to strip someone naked before tucking them under the blankets. Of course, he's also the kind of person to have... heavily intoxicated sex. Morning. You're here. Why? Me and Gerard crashed. He practically had to save you from yourself. You sent him about 30 pictures of you strangling yourself as you tried to get your tie off.
Oh, Mikey.
You sent him about 30 pictures of you strangling your... I can't... might be hard. The mental image of this is quite fun. Okay. You sent him about 30 pictures of you strangling yourself as you tried to get your tie off so you could pop your collar on the dance floor. Did we? Frank shrugs. The movement ripples through his body and causes the towel tied loosely around his stomach to shift. It doesn't drop off his hips, but it's close. Didn't finish. You puked while we were fucking. Is there a word? That's gross. Is there a word for something that's disgusting? Is there a word for something that's disgusting and hilarious at the same time? Mikey's not sure if he should laugh or die of humiliation. We could try for a better round two. One where I don't have to pull out. We could try for a better round. Wow, this would be the most awkward morning after conversation ever. We could try for a better round two. One where I don't have to pull out and wash a trash can? Well, when you put it like that, Mikey laughs. Since the debacle that was Pete, he's avoided doing anything with friends. Things get way too messy that way. But any damage that will be done here already has been. Actually getting off won't change things for the worse. And then there's just the line, I think they're fighting for my honor or some shit, Mikey says dryly. I'm assuming stuff happens in between. So, yeah, that is my first cold reading. That morning after scene clearly made me giggle a lot. Oh my god. So, yeah. Okay. Most awkward morning after scene ever. So I'm gonna stop this now and send it to you. If I can figure out how to turn my iPod on.